God, it's gonna be so loud. I don't know. In a minute, I might just pass out. I'm glad the medic's here. I even typed down here my name in case I forgot it. but anyway, we have had some good presentations, and I've been lucky to get here every night. And next week, I won't be here. I'll be out of town. But I don't even know who's next week, so it's just no offense. I'll be back the next week, I hope. I don't think I've ever talked to a crowd this big, except maybe when I've shared my story a couple times. One time I was asked to say the blessing somewhere in the crowd. I think I'll just bless y'all and go home. Oh, me. Out of my group, they have a saying, Lou, that if you don't like a speaker, don't talk about the speaker, impeach the program chairman. So y'all take note of that. If you don't like what I say, get on Lou. He's the one that asked me. And they said last night that I'd probably, I mean last week, that I'd probably give you some opinions, and I probably will. I have some opinions, and I was talking to Barbara last night, and I said, don't let me get on my soapbox. But I was raised in this fellowship by a bunch of old-timers, and they were pretty strict, and they told me pretty much what to do. And they told me how to dress. They told me the appropriate words to say and not to say. They taught me how to read the traditions. They taught me how to read the steps. And they taught me to act out of the rooms the same way I acted in the rooms. I don't always do those things. But the things outward you see me do, there's some other things that I do that, like all of us, I'm glad it says practice. I don't practice all the time. I don't practice all the principles all the time. But my intentions are there. And so I've qualified myself now, I think. And I'm an alcoholic. My name is Allie Millington. And when I get through with this, I can say I was glad I was here. My sobriety date's December the 5th, 1986. And I've had the same home group and the same sponsor since I walked through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a sponsor, have a grand sponsor. My grand sponsor's here tonight. Had the same grand sponsor for a long time. She died a year or so, 2 years ago now. And I have a new grand sponsor, and I'm grateful for that. So I'll get on with this thing, and if you see any water running out from under the podium, it's exactly what you think it is. We're going to talk about the fifth tradition tonight, and I'm going to read the short form and the long form. I'm going to read them. I think I know them, but if I try to say them, I won't know them. So I'm going to read them. Tradition 5, the short form. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. The long form. Each Alcoholics Anonymous group ought to be a spiritual entity, having but one primary purpose. That's of carrying its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And Randy helped me a lot with this. He took some stuff off his computer. I'm not a computer whiz. And he gave me a lot of good information and some ideas. And I appreciate that, Randy. Thank you a lot. And so the word tradition, taken from the American Heritage Dictionary, says the passing down of elements of a culture from generation to generation or by oral communication. And another from Webster's 20th Century Dictionary of the English Language, 1935, a statement, opinion, or belief which has been handed down from one generation to another without the aid of written memorials, knowledge, or belief transmitted orally from age to age. So I believe that's saying that we talk about these things rather than read about them. And I also looked up the word primary. It says we have a primary purpose. And that says something that stands first in rank, importance or value, fundamental serving or of original or generating source. And the word entity, the fact of real existence, something that exists alone. You know, at most of the meetings that I go to, they read something called the purpose. Some people call it the preamble. And I'm going to read that. I've been to a couple of meetings that they didn't read it. I've also been to a couple of meetings that didn't read traditions. I didn't go but one time, but I have been there. My opinion getting in there. We just have a man out in our group says if you don't live by the traditions, you won't be here long. So that tells me something. The Purpose Without Cost Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. That's pretty simple, but some of us don't seem to either listen or get it. We also read something else at our meeting and some other meetings I've been to, a little card, and I can't quote it exactly, but it says something about confining your comments to your problems with alcohol. There's a lot of people don't pay attention to that, too. So, but we do read that at our meetings, and I suspect some of the groups read that. Some of the examples from the big book was the use of the word purpose. Forward to the first edition, page XIII. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. From There Is a Solution on page 20, if you're an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking, what do I have to do? It is the purpose of this book to answer questions specifically. And on page 50, chapter of the Agnostics, in our personal stories, you will find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. Whether we agree with a particular approach or conception seems to make little difference. Experience has taught us that these are matters about which, for our purpose, we need not be worried. These are questions for each individual to settle for himself. And page 77, in action, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. There's some other words in there that's really important. Randy shared with me that the word alcoholic appears 318 times in the first 164 pages. Another word that's in there quite frequently, and I'll give you some examples of that, is must. You know, you hear once in a while there's no must in AA. There's no must in the big book, and you know, it's like cafeteria line, take what you want, leave the rest, and a lot of that jazz, you know, that you hear in some of these meetings, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, too. Have some remarks to make about open meetings myself and treatment centers and things, you know. The word must appear 65 times in the first 164 pages. Page XXII. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present this conception to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship of these men and their families. XVI, he suddenly realized that in order to save himself, he must carry this message to another alcoholic. This alcoholic turned out to be the Akron physician. And page 43, more about alcoholism. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few cases. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. This is just a few examples, and it shows how really how important it is to carry this message and to carry it to the suffering alcoholic. So with that, I would like to share with you some of the things that I read in the Language of the Heart, and also from AA Comes of Age, which is two of my favorite books, and have a lot of information in there, good information, history, and I really enjoyed Linda's presentation on some of the history of AA. I'm not as learned about it as she was. She's been here a little, great deal longer than I have, and but I do like to hear about the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think it's important for us in laying our own foundation to know something about the people that went before us. In AA Comes of Age, Bill writes on page 106, "We think we should do one thing well rather than many things to which we are not called. This is the central theme of this tradition. Our society gathers in unity around this concept. The very life of our fellowship requires its preservation. Shoemaker, stick to thy last is no dull cliche for Alcoholics Anonymous. Together, we have found a substantial remedy for a terrible malady. Of course, we might interest ourselves in fields of education, research, neurosis, and the like. But as a society, should we? Our experience says we definitely should not. We can and we do help as individuals in those fields. This is good. But as a fellowship, we know that we must not be diverted. It is our experience as alcoholics that make us of unique value on our sector of the total alcoholic front. We can approach sufferers as no one else can. Therefore, the strongest kind of moral and ethical compulsion is upon us to do this and nothing more. We know that theology is for the clergyman and that the practice of medicine is for doctors. Certain that we can do together what we cannot do separately, we shall always try to cooperate but never compete." Hey, Mike. "We shall direct our energies where they count the most. Most emphatically, then, Alcoholics Anonymous has but one single purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. This is our basic objective, our real reason for existence." In Language of the Heart, on page 82, Bill wrote on April the 1st, 1948, on the fifth tradition, he had this to say: "Because it has now become plain enough that only a recovered alcoholic can do much for a sick alcoholic, a tremendous responsibility has descended upon us all, an obligation so great that it amounts to a sacred trust. First to our kind, those who suffer alcoholism, recovery is a matter of life or death. So our Society of Alcoholics Anonymous cannot, it dare not, ever be diverted from its primary purpose." I want to read a little bit out of the book. No, I think I'll do this other first. There was an article I read in the Grapevine, and it's in July 1995, and all of you know about the story in the book of a doctor, alcoholic addict. A representative from the Grapevine went to interview him about the singleness of purpose, and here's what Dr. Paul said. He says, "Every meeting has the right to say it doesn't want drugs discussed. People who want to discuss drugs have other places they can go to talk about that. AA is very open to giving the steps and traditions to other groups who want to use them. with permission from New York, when I worked in the field of chemical dependency, I started some of those groups. But I didn't go to them because I get everything I need from AA. I don't have any trouble staying away from talking about drugs, and I never introduced myself as an alcoholic addict. I'm annoyed, or maybe irritated is a better word, by the people who keep insisting that AA should broaden to include drugs and other addictions other than alcohol. In fact, I hear it said that AA should change its name to Addicts Anonymous. I find this a very narrow-minded view based on people's personal opinions and not on good sense. History tells us that the Washingtonians spread themselves so thin they evaporated. Jim B. says the greatest thing that ever happened to AA was the publication of the Big Book, because it puts in writing what the program was and made it available all over the world. So wherever you go, it's the same program. I don't see how you could change the program unless you change the book. That singleness of purpose is so significant, it seems to be working. Why should we change it? And I thought that was a pretty good article, and I hope that was okay to read that. I don't know about, I know that the grapevine is sanctioned by New York. I don't know if all the articles are, but I thought that that addressed the singleness of purpose pretty clearly for me anyway. And on the on our legacy of recovery, Bill wrote, on the third legacy, Bill wrote, our 12th step, carrying the message, is the basic service that Alcoholics Anonymous Fellowship gives. This is our principal aim and the main reason for our existence. Therefore, AA is more than a set of principles. It is a society of alcoholics in action. We must carry the message, else we ourselves can wither, and those who haven't been given the truth will die. And you know, I mentioned earlier I was raised with a group of old-timers that told me the truth. I've heard Mr. B say a lot of times, we owe the newcomer the truth. I'm not sure that, I think when I first was getting sober and started sponsoring, I probably told more truth than I do today. You know, maybe I'm guilty of watering it down sometime. Maybe I'm guilty of not doing exactly the way I was raised. I think it's so important to leave this program the way we found it. My sponsor asked me, when I asked her to be my sponsor, if I was willing to pass on what was given to me in the way that it was given to me, and I told her I was. And, you know, Brian said something last week about treatment centers, or a couple of weeks ago, and that he didn't like them, and he runs one. Well, I don't like them today, and I was in one. When I was in a treatment center, they were very good, and they carried me the message of recovery. They told me that that was the place of discovery, but these rooms would be the place of recovery, and I carried that with me in Alcoholics Anonymous. I probably would not have come to Alcoholics Anonymous and to the meeting that I went to, but my counselor knew at my age I probably wouldn't go to a meeting. He came by that day and took me to basics. And he said, I'm going to bring you out here for 2 weeks, and by that time you must have enough phone numbers to get here. And that group met three times a week. So I'm grateful that I started off in a group like that. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about open meetings. And Brian said he didn't like open meetings. If there was any way in the world to get new people in closed meetings, explain to them why they were in closed meetings, I might agree with that. I go to open meetings. I have ever since I came in. I was a closet drinker. I had home drinker. And when I got out of treatment and started going to meetings, I knew something inside me told me I did not need to be home alone. You know, when you're home alone, you get in trouble. And a lot of things happen. And said somewhere in Bill's story was reading last week something about a lot of things going on in the house when you're living with somebody. There's a lot of things going on in my house and I'm by myself. Still do sometimes, I get between my ears. But so I went to open meetings and I still go, and one of the reasons I still go is my sponsor and I had a talk about this one time, and I told her I'd gone to a meeting and somebody came out, and I was probably 4 years sober. I don't remember how sober I was, sober enough to be sponsoring. And I usually go in a beginner's meeting. And I go in there to see what happens to people that go back out and the people that are still shaking that come in, so I can remember how I was. But that day, I stayed in the other room, and a little bit, a person came out of the beginner's meeting and they said, there's six of us in there, and there's nobody with more than 3 months sobriety. We don't know what we're supposed to do. And I made up my mind right then that as long as I was able, I was going to go to a meeting wherever it was. Now, we joke a lot about those other meetings, you know, those meetings, and the Cook's Night Out and all that stuff, you know. Well, we joke about that. But if I hadn't had those meetings to go to, I don't know if I'd be standing up here sober today. I'm grateful that I had my home group that kept me on base. But I'm also grateful that I had the opportunity to carry what they taught me where I went. Sometimes I've been successful in changing the topic. I've been successful in stopping from saying who's got a problem. Don't every alcoholic have a problem? Just ask. Man, I don't know one that hasn't got a problem. And I don't mind saying that when they say, who's got a problem? I used to say everybody in the room. You know, I'm not well liked, but I still go. You know, I still go. Just to give you, for instance, down here in the church one day, I usually choose a step or tradition or sponsorship if I'm asked to lead a meeting, and I was asked to lead that meeting, and I chose the third step. I didn't ask anybody else. I had a topic. And going around, you know, I was calling on people and calling on this guy, and he shared real well for about a second, and then he said, but when it comes to my sex preference, I said, thank you for sharing. And I didn't need to hear about that, and I knew it didn't include me. He jumped up and headed for the door. In a few minutes, we heard this loud noise outside. And we thought it was out in the street, and there was another meeting downstairs. And so when we went downstairs, a couple of guys walked up to me and said, you want us to walk you to your car? I said, what? It's daytime. I said, what? They said, well, some guy came in down here and came in there and meeting and said, I don't say what he said. That blanket blank, gray-headed blank, wouldn't let me share. And they said, aren't you want us to go with you? I said, no, and that don't bother me too much, but it's going to make my beautician real mad. So, you know, we do have opportunities, you know, in the open meetings to carry something with us, to be able to pass on what's been passed to us, because a lot of times the girls that have asked me to walk with them in sobriety and have helped me stay sober, that's on the meetings they've gone to, and they don't know any different. And I can share some of my experience and some of the things that have happened to me with the steps and the traditions, and they get interested and they want to come where we are. So I can't really, in all consciousness, say that I think open meetings are bad. I have a lot of mixed feelings. I think they're bad if I let them be bad. But if I'm there and I can turn it around, and if I can't turn it around, then I probably don't need to be there. So that's enough of my soapbox. I usually find most of the answers that I need are in the chapter Working with Others, or in the three chapters after that, the family afterward. You know, those three chapters that everybody hates to read in the book study. You know, when you get to them, the book study gets thin. Kind of like if you announce we're going to have a night on traditions, group gets real thin. By the way, I'm really glad you're having this. Even if I am up here, but I'm still glad that you're having this. I do think that we carry the message by example. The most successful 12-step calls I've made, I didn't even know I was making. And I have permission to tell you about a couple of them. Is that clock right? Do I need to shut up? Oh, it's 8 o'clock. Oh, I thought we started at 7. I used to carry my little meditation book up to a restaurant I would go to. And it's all right to use this guy's name. He's given me permission to do this. And Greg used to come up there, and he worked for Piedmont Gas. And he'd come in there in the mornings, and I'd be sitting there reading my meditation book, and he'd just watch me. And he'd be hungover and red-faced and shaking. And so one morning he got up nervous enough to ask me what I was reading. And I just said a meditation book. And he started telling me about his problems and about that he was drinking too much and doing some things he shouldn't be doing, getting in trouble at home. And I didn't know the young man. Never met him before. And I said, yeah, I used to drink a lot. I said, I lived by myself and I got in trouble. But I said, I've done enough stuff before I started drinking that I made my own troubles. And we had a lot of conversations, and this went on for, you know, several weeks, maybe more than weeks. And I began to share with him how I used to drink. I began to tell him how I used to get up in the night and drink, I didn't have anybody keep watching me like you said you did, Helen. I didn't have any police in the house, but I was watching them. I was looking at the curtains. Who's out there watching me drinking at 4 o'clock in the morning? And I would share my second edition. It talks about Bill's beginning in regard to carrying the message. It's on page XVI. Says, prior to his journey to Akron, the broker had worked hard with many alcoholics on the theory that only an alcoholic could help an alcoholic, but he had succeeded only in keeping sober himself. The broker had gone to Akron on a business venture which had collapsed, leaving him greatly in fear that he might start drinking again. He suddenly realized that in order to save himself, he must carry his message to another alcoholic. That alcoholic turned out to be the Akron physician. And then XVI and XVII tells briefly of Bill's visit to Dr. Bob. This physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means to solve his alcoholic dilemma, but had failed. But when the broker gave him Dr. Silkworth's description of alcoholism and its hopelessness, the physician began to pursue the spiritual remedy for his malady with a willingness he never had again up to the moment of his death in 1950. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work with one another was vital to permanent recovery. And I'm going to read what Dr. Bob said about that. says on June 10th, 1935, and that was my last drink, as I write nearly 4 years passed. The question which might naturally come into your mind would be, what did the man do or say that was different from what others had done or said? It must be remembered that I had read a great deal and talked to everyone who knew or thought they knew anything about the subject of alcoholism. But this was a man who had experienced many years of frightful drinking, who had had most all the drunkard's experiences known to man, but who had been cured by the very means I had been trying to employ, that is to say, the spiritual approach. He gave me information about the subject of alcoholism, which was undoubtedly helpful. And then this is in squiggly writing. Y'all know what that means. Very important. Of far more importance was the fact that he was the first living human with whom I'd ever talked who knew what he was talking about in regard to alcoholism from actual experience. In other words, he talked my language. He knew all the answers, and certainly not because he'd picked them up in his reading. It is the most wonderful blessing to be relieved of the terrible curse with which I was afflicted. My health is good, and I've regained my self-respect and the respect of my colleagues. My home life is ideal, and my business is as good as it can be expected in these uncertain times. I spend a great deal of time passing on what I learned by others to others who want and need it badly. I do it for four reasons: sense of duty, it is a pleasure, because in so doing I'm paying my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me, and because every time I do it, I take out a little more insurance. I think all those are pretty good reasons. Had something real important to say, and I've already forgot it. Must have been really important. I don't know if I preached enough tonight. I hate not to live up to my reputation. But I do believe in old-timey AA. And I'm reminded every time I get the book out of the people that went before us. And I'm especially reminded when I read the books on our history of the people that were not alcoholic that helped us get started. You know, the lady that gave Bill Bob's number, Henrietta Cyberling, you know, how she helped out, and the different doctors and the people, the psychiatrists, and Dr. Silkworth. Can you imagine how it would be to be a doctor and to have all that knowledge and not be an alcoholic? I say I can't explain my alcoholism to anyone, and yet he was able to explain it to a degree that Bill was able to get this book published. I've read in the literature where he had lots of talks with Dr. Silkworth. Dr. Silkworth had a lot to do with the way Bill formed this program and cautioned him about preaching and about, you know, being spiritual, speaking spiritual rather than on religion. I don't know that I've got across the message about our primary purpose. I hope that I have. I think it's very, very important that we stick to our purpose and not get involved in other things. And we talk a lot about that in my group. You know, money will ruin anything. And if we get into other things, I'm sure we would die. And, you know, we can't even have a conversation in our group about buying cakes or flowers or anything without getting in an argument. You know, where's the money going to come from? Take it out. No, we ain't taking out treasure. Well, you know, first thing you know, we have a little distance. Somebody gets a coffee pot and goes, starts another meeting. Isn't that wonderful? I like that. A lot of meetings get started. When Basic quit having the book study, about about 4 or 5 meetings started. One over in Belmont, one up in Concord, one around here, around about here somewhere. And, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 meetings got started. So you just get your coffee pot and get somebody else to go with you and start your own meeting if you don't like the one you're going to. But I hope if you get another meeting or wherever you go, I hope you'll carry the message of recovery as it's written in their basic text. You know, in the first 164 pages, tells us exactly what we could do and what we should not do. I know it even has some nevers in working with others. Others never criticize, never look down on an alcoholic. And so there's a lot of stuff in here. And I'm going to read this and I'm going to sit down. I want to thank all of you for listening and for your patience. And about the time I get calm here, it's time to sit down. Thank God. Thank all of you, and thank you, Lou, for asking me. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Randy, I thank you for your help. If y'all got any questions, ask Randy.